football on off the ball.
Yeah, I think we needed a big statement home win like that, and I think it was convincing to go. It's never happened in my whole career that I've conceded after 8 seconds. I can't believe we conceded after 8 seconds.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Green Scene on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.
Welcome along to another episode of The Green Scene here on Off the Ball, your one-stop shop for everything Irish football related. I'm joined here by Ben Symes and I'm joined by Matthew Brennan. How are we, lads?
Yep, great. How are you, Dave?
Yeah, all good. Good weekend?
Yeah, it was good fun. Did you go too much?
Yeah, it was quite a weekend. I suppose the interesting thing today is that we are somehow just over a week out from another Ireland squad being announced. Yes, we are still playing football and we are going on a training camp to Spain, to Murcia. And interestingly, we'll have probably some new players in that squad, but we'll get to it in a little bit later, because there's a couple of things we want to touch on before that. But Matthew, it was a big weekend for the Irish in the EFL and the Irish abroad.
Yeah.
But one person who's came up quite a lot over the last few weeks is Andrew Omobamidele.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable last minute winner.
Yeah, and when we were talking about him a good bit last week, actually, he got a lot of airtime before we had Oisin McIndy on, who we'll come back to in a couple of minutes as well. Some sad news on his front, but we were looking forward to the cup semi final that they were going to be playing in, which didn't go their way. But they were back up on the horse on the weekend. He scored a last minute winner for Strasbourg as they climbed again up the table. They're having a pretty good season under Gary O'Neill now, obviously, who's taken over from Liam Senior, who we won't spend too much time talking about. But another great weekend for Andrew, who isn't not going to be in the he's not going to be in the squad for next week, obviously, because Strasbourg are still playing. But hopefully we see him back in full soon.
Yeah. I suppose this week is a huge week for Andrew Omobamidele and Strasbourg. They're playing Europa Conference League semi-final on Thursday. It's been a great European run. Has this move to France, to the continent, has this developed his game kind of probably to the next level? I'm just looking back at his games. He's played pretty much every game over the last couple of months, playing 90 minutes, 70 minutes. He's starting a lot of games. This has been a hell of a move, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. It's worked. The move to Europe is not always the move for players, but I do think it adds that extra layer and element to your game that maybe you don't get when you're sitting on the benches of Premier League clubs and you're going out on loan to Championship or in some cases League One. The move has also put him in a weird limelight where he's owned by Chelsea's subsidiary at Strasbourg of Blueco and Clearlake, where, you know, every single player at Strasbourg, I suppose, is thinking you could one day get the call from the London office and head up the road. I'm delighted for him. I just hope he gets a little bit silver come towards the end of the season. He's a huge chance in the Conference League now into the semi-finals.
Probably play Palace again if they get to the final.
Really? I think Shakhtar might beat Palace.
Yeah, they might do, but I mean, it's likely Palace are going to be the favourites for that tie. But
Palace are the favourites for the Conference League. But it's an interesting one that if they do win the Conference League, they enter the Europa League. And obviously Chelsea looks like aren't going to be playing Champions League football this season.
Fair point, yeah.
They could well end up in the Europa League if they either win the FA Cup or finished sixth in the Premier League. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens there with multi-club ownership and do Strasbourg get punished, because I was actually reading up on this a little bit yesterday. And on the 28th of February, Begdad Egbali kind of basically stepped away from Strasbourg, and a couple of others, Paul Winstanley and a couple of the other sporting directors stepped away in kind of preparation. If they're about in the Champions League, they might all end up in the Europa League.
Yeah, they've only got a couple of games left in the league too, Strasbourg, and it's not looking like they're going to get back into Europe through the league.
Yeah,
at the moment, they're seven behind Marseille. They have a game in hand, but there's only, four games left.
Yeah,
so they'll need stipulations. Let's just say it's slightly different in this scenario, where the reason why Drogheda got kicked out is because I can't remember the name of the club in Denmark.
Silkeborg
finished higher up in the league than them.
Yeah.
That was the caveat there. So Chelsea, even if they finish higher up in Strasbourg, UEFA have a caveat for if you have won a European trophy, you have to compete in the European competition you're going into. Yeah. So if they win the Conference League, they have to compete in the Europa League next season.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see, do Chelsea kind of get away around the rules and what we see Androne Bambadele in the Europa League.
Monaco, yeah, Monaco are 8th in Ligue 1. They are 7 points off Marseille, as you said, Matthew.
Strasbourg
are 8. They're 8 points off Marseille. Monaco are in 7th. Monaco are a team that really had an unbelievable chance to put out PSG, probably one of the 2 or 3 best teams in Europe. They're obviously going to play the Champions League semi-final tonight. This development for Amad Bamadele, the style of football, this is probably proven to a lot of players to, you know, that are in a kind of specific time of their career, their early 20s, that making this move is probably the best thing to go and do.
Yeah, I do always like to caveat with that, though. It's a case by case basis. I think his situation was very unique too, in that he was not getting a look in at all with Forest. He was totally out in the cold. He's gone into a group here where the team is full of very talented players who have got very little, in some cases, no first team football experience, and he's gone in there as a 23-year-old player who has actually got far more experience in football and in life, really, with what he's had to deal with regarding the injuries and then also being left out in the cold. So he can come in there and almost take a senior sort of position within that group, and that absolutely is incredibly valuable for a footballer in his own career. But from an Irish perspective, great, because we have a team that's full of leaders really within the clubs. We have a lot of club captains, but we need someone to kind of step up and take the mantle as far as leading the Republic of Ireland national team goes, and he's definitely a candidate to go and do that. But as you say, yeah, I think it's definitely something players should consider, and I think are considering more. But at the same time, I think it is quite unique. He definitely seems like the type of character who would revel in a situation like this, and has gone on to do. And his injury record has improved over the last couple of months. But it's not a black and white thing, you know.
They were beaten in the Coupe de France last week, 2-0 by Nice, unfortunately for Amad Bamadele. But he was the only player, it seems, to have done media in the immediate aftermath of the match. Then on Sunday they were away to Lorient and they were 2-0 down, came back and won 3-2, and shortly right after the full time whistle, Andrew Amad Bamadele said this.
Well, we are very happy, you know. I'm happy to score in the last second or the last few minutes, but I think after we were 2-0 down, we showed this fight, this quality, and moments like this happen when you keep going and you keep fighting. So we're happy with the 3 points.
Touch of the Joey Barton's there with the old accent.
Don't know about Joey Barton. We go with Steve McLaren.
Yeah. I just think of French football and...
Of course. I understand the reference.
The one thing is, like, I'm just looking. Marseille have been falling like a stone very quickly there the last couple of weeks. So there is a chance they could still get into European football. Bluko seems good for kind of Strasbourg football team and the players, maybe not the fans, and also kind of bad for Chelsea. But moving on. Big weekend in the EFL. Brian Barry Murphy was on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning.
Yeah, briefly. We had some trouble with his line, so I'm sure we'll try to get him on again over the next little while. But some interesting stuff even in there, just about, there's some clips that you might be able to find across our socials talking about how he's managed to deal with the last couple of weeks as far as the players go and getting them motivated. He used a good line to say that he didn't bother trying to tell the players that the last two games were important because they'd look at him like he was some sort of idiot, which is a fair point. So he's great news for him, great weekend. Obviously that was wrapped up already far as their promotion goes, but loads of other stuff. I mean, Finn Azaz in the FA Cup, obviously not in the EFL, scoring an absolute worldly. Unfortunately, they couldn't get over the line. Ryan Manning, of course, was suspended for that game, but there was loads of other stuff too. I mean, we might get on to Harvey Vale when we're going through our squads in a little while. Was absolutely exceptional for QPR in a game they lost out to Derby. Sammy Smodics got on the score sheet in that game as well, and Vale himself did score too, and there was plenty of other stuff. Jack Moylan, again, keeping up his good form, scored an absolute worldly for Lincoln down in League 1.
Yeah,
and loads of others, far too much to actually get through here as far as the EFL goes.
Ben, on the Finn Azaz goal at the weekend, pity he just didn't score that 10 minutes later.
Yeah, it's so funny how City just flipped the switch, isn't it?
It's amazing how these top teams can do that, isn't it? Yeah. It's just you spend 75 minutes trying to score without really needing to, and then as soon as you need to, it's like, we can just do this.
He's a funny one. Like, obviously he's involved in the disallowed goal, but just would like to see him get a little bit more involved in games. Like, oftentimes you don't see him or don't hear from him for a long time in matches. And sometimes when he pops up with something, like Saturday, brilliant. Yeah. But I do think, like, when you watch him sometimes, and when he plays for Ireland, he's also probably not in his best position, which doesn't help him as well. He's kind of played out on the left, but that is the way Ireland are going to set up now going forward. I would just think if he got a little bit more involved in games, I think a move to the Premier League would definitely happen. Like it would happen without doubt.
Do you think
it still could happen either way?
Yeah.
But just
he
might need a move at all. But I just wonder if Southampton don't go up, would teams be you know, would they be less likely to buy him because of the impact throughout games in a 90?
Yeah.
Are you like the Premier League is a lot different for moments versus getting involved in games and grabbing a game by the scruff of the neck. I would worry about that going forward. If he can add that kind of more consistency to the game,
I think
100% he gets a move up. I just would worry about that. And he still has plenty more time to develop into
that. What's the likelihood that he gets a move this summer?
If Southampton don't go up?
Yeah.
I'd say it's higher than 50. I'd say you're looking in 60s. Mm. I think the likes of Crystal Palace.
I think he would revel in a team like
Everton
that.
And Fulham.
Yeah. In a team. I think he might. If Southampton go up, now they're playing some outrageous football and they're not going to be the Southampton that was in the Premier League last time round. They're going to be a better team than that. But he might struggle in a team down towards the bottom league for that exact reason. And there's been, I mean, when he was at Middlesbrough, it was something that cropped up a bit. And when things weren't going perfectly for Southampton at the start of the season, that was the type of thing that was levelled at him, that he wasn't getting involved and he wasn't grabbing a game by the scruff of the neck. Yeah. But I do think there is also an element where you're watching the game and you're thinking, I'm not seeing much of Finn Azaz here. But there's also...
he does something.
Yeah, and I think that might actually be something that kind of happens with the opposition team that they're playing, that he kind of... He's so much out of a game. Mm. That he's, not that he's like... consciously forgotten about, but it's just one of these things where he will just pop up and do it, and I think that is an X factor sort of thing that he does have. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a move, and I think he's one of those players that would maybe benefit from skipping that initial bottom of the Premier League type team, because he does just seem, there's a lot of time he just seems like he's a wavelength ahead of players as regards looking to play a pass. We see that a bit with Ireland, and I definitely think he's far more suited to that central role than he is out on the left. That's something I've been saying for quite a long time when he plays with Ireland.
Just very kind of briefly, but Southampton or Ipswich, who do you think?
I know what I'll be watching tonight.
Yeah, I know what you'll be watching tonight.
Don't even start.
But I know it actually is a huge game in Irish football, as in there's quite a few players that are playing for both teams. Ipswich win,
they're up.
They're pretty much guaranteed.
Oh, they are, they're up.
They
probably will go up anyway. They've to play Harvey Vale and Jimmy Dunn's QPR the weekend, who are not playing for anything at the moment, so you'd expect them to get a result there.
So Ryan Manning, Finn Azaz with Southampton, and then with Ipswich you got Darrow Shea, Casey McAteer,
Jack Taylor.
Yeah.
A few others out.
Maybe Sammy Smodix comes back.
Gio.
Josie Ogbeni. What is the best case scenario for Ireland football?
Darrow Shea, I think, could be one who could get a move either way.
Yeah.
I think if you're a Premier League club, you'd be, and you're looking towards centre halves and Championship, Darrow Shea is probably near the top of where you're looking. I do think, for the benefit of Irish football, I would say Southampton, purely for the fact that then you would know there's no reservations about Manning and Azaz. They're definitely going to play Premier League football next season. I could see Darrow Shea getting a move. I can't see Chidozo Ogbeni or Casey McAteer being in that, or Sammy Smodix being in that team.
Yeah.
If Ipswich Cup, Jack Taylor might play a bit part role. The only guarantee there, basically, to play in that team is Darrow Shea, who could get a move to the Premier League anyway in the summer.
Yeah.
Whereas Southampton go up, Finn Azaz, Ryan Manning are definitely going to play Premier League football then, whereas we're not sure if they are going to come the summer.
I'm probably with you on that, yeah.
Yeah, so I do think Ipswich go up for what it's worth. I think over the course of the two games, I think they have enough. But Southampton could join them for the playoffs. I can't wait for the playoffs.
I can't wait for the last couple of games.
Very briefly, who goes up in the playoffs in the English Championship?
Who gets in is the other one. Signal notifications on. There's loads of stuff to go on the weekend. Not much Irish interest at Wrexham. We've got a bit of Hull with John Egan and Derby are the other ones. So Sammy Smodix is, of course, there.
Yeah.
So that'll be an interesting one to follow. Who's going to go up? I've had a soft spot for Borough all season. I think Kim Hellberg is the absolute business. He's a manager at the minute. And he's done some job in there. So
and Alan Brown,
Alex Gilbert's there too. He started the weekend. It's actually ever since they hammered Hull that night, and Alex Gilbert came in from the cold. Hellberg just threw him in there in the six, and he was phenomenal. I am buying myself time as to predict who goes up through the playoffs. I would say I think if Ipswich end up in the playoffs, they won't go up. I think Southampton is like, they're the form team. They're playing unbelievably well, and they're on an unbelievable run, and stereotypically that would be the team that goes to win the playoffs, but I actually think they might come up short. You're looking at Borough. I don't think the team in sixth will do it. I don't think Wrexham, Hull or Derby will do it, so that leaves me with my sauce off for Borough. So I think Borough will go up through the playoffs,
and
but
that,
I do think Ipswich will snake in ahead of Southampton into the automatics.
And you're predicting Millwall to go up?
What about Millwall? What about Millwall?
No, if West Ham still up, I'd love Millwall to go up. I was out in Dublin. I was in Derry on Friday, and then I was out in Dublin on Saturday night, and I was chatting to a fellow Millwall fan actually, and I'm seeing in town. I was like, what the hell? What is a polar bear doing in Ireland, Texas? Like, what is a Millwall fan doing in the middle of Dublin? It sounded bloke, but I wish them all the worst luck in the world. I hope they get nowhere near the
League. I don't think Millwall will do it in the playoffs.
No. And there's no Irish representation there.
Small ball's not getting a look in though at the minute. Danny McMara is coming off the bench the odd time. But
I reckon Ipswich go up automatically, and I'm going to say Southampton. Okay. The playoffs.
Yeah, but Borough have been finding a way to lose it over the last little while. But they had a great win the weekend. James O'Bank on the score sheet. But
For Watford.
Yeah.
So considering we're talking a lot about championship clubs, championship players, the squad that will be Hamer Hallgrimsson will announce next week for the friendly against Granada in Spain. A lot of championship players are going to be playing. Lower league players are going to be probably in the squad. Any players that are probably not in the playoffs? There'll be no players from the Scottish Premiership, from the Premier League, and no players from
the top divisions, really, all around Europe and further afield.
And also, which caveat, players who aren't involved in those leagues, like lower level championship, they also don't necessarily have to go. They're not required to be released by the club or required to actually go to the camp because they have an international window.
So in saying all that,
We've been doing some hard homework.
We've been doing some hard-hitting journalism, as we always kind of do. And we've been kind of up the walls this last 2 days, trying to come up with what our squads will look like for next week's training camp and friendly. Maybe the training camp is more important than the friendly here.
It's as making an impression on Hamer for some of these guys who maybe haven't had the opportunity to do so thus far.
And, you know, we're 40-something days out from the World Cup, but we're 2 years out from the European Championships.
A lot of football to play between now and then.
Those 2 years will go very quickly. So, without...
so we hope.
At your big age.
Further ado, who wants to kick us off with the goalkeepers? Like, goalkeepers is a position that we don't really care about anyway. Yeah. No, I'm joking.
I'm a member of the goalkeepers union. And,
no, true.
I'm going to be reporting that back.
So we're going to pick a 26-man squad, 3 goalkeepers, a couple of defenders. Now, Hamer Hallgrimsson might pick more than that because it's a training camp.
Yeah.
So we don't know. Like,
I have a feeling you might say you've only picked 2 keepers here, have you?
No, I have three.
Can I
caveat this?
I wanted to pick
by
two.
Asking, have you picked the squad that you think Hamer's going to pick or the squad that you want to see?
I would say mine more. I think mine more leans towards what I think will happen, but I've included a little bit of what I think will happen.
Okay.
I have basically done
what I want to see with a little bit of.
Okay.
There's a couple of players which I won't mention names that I think I necessarily wouldn't want to see them, but I've mostly gone for what I want.
Okay, that's fine. That's cleared up here.
All right. Three goalkeepers.
My three goalkeepers are Josh Keighley, Max O'Leary, and Gab Bazunu. Obviously under the idea that Luton don't get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And if they do, I haven't really considered who my third goalkeeper would be. Would probably be maybe League of Ireland head. But I will say as well, and not the caveat, I'll keep doing all these caveats, I would be surprised if any League of Ireland players were allowed to go. I know Dawson Devoy has been kind of cleared to go, but I think Hamer might just run the rule of if these ex players aren't allowed to go from a certain manager, I'm not going to bother putting the pressure on elsewhere. That would be my thought process there.
Goalkeepers.
I've gone for what I want to see. So I've gone Gavin Bazunu, Josh Keighley, Ed McGuinty. If Josh Keighley's in the playoff, Max O'Leary comes in.
I've gone Gavin Bazunu, Josh Keighley, Max O'Leary. Okay, moving on. Defenders, Ben.
Full list, right. Full backs on the left, Teo Adaramola, Sheffield Wednesday, and Joe Bagan off Cardiff.
That is so rogue. What?
On the right.
What, is it that rogue? I won't spoil what I've got.
I was not even thinking of them lads.
Really?
No. Nah. Yeah, who are you thinking of? James Clane's going to be in
here. Finish your list and I'll jump
on
in.
The right, James Abagwa and Josh Key off Swansea. Torquay, English born, as we've heard and declared about 2 years ago.
This is the most football manager list.
Centre halves, Jimmy Dunn, Mark McGuinness, Aaron Cashin, Gabriel Otagbeo off Sheffield Wednesday, and Sean McLaughlin, 29-year-old Blackburn centre half.
Okay,
I run through mine. Yeah, go on.
So I've got Joel Bagan off Cardiff. Yeah, I've got Teo Adaramola from Sheffield Wednesday. I've got James Banqua as one of my right back options. I've included Mark Sykes. As
it would be without a club.
It would be in June. Yeah, but he's not going to be out of a club in May.
No.
And he's going to get another club.
of course he is.
I've got 4 centre halves. I've got Jimmy Dunn. I've got Mark McGuinness. I've got Aaron Cashin. And then I've included John Egan if obviously Hull miss out in the playoffs. And I did have your Athletic bios, but I have decided to put in Paddy O'Connor, who's playing with Reading at the minute. Who?
What age is he?
He's about 28, 29.
Too late.
Too late.
You put in over. If you're going that age, would you not come with Lachlan?
No, I know what you mean. Football. Yeah, but I just think I actually just think Paddy O'Connor.
These shouldn't be like
far above.
These shouldn't
level.
Be like pity caps. These
it's not
be.
A pity
no,
cap.
No, but you have.
It's not a pity
you
cap.
You also
at
have
all.
To realize like Darragh Shea's not going to be in the squad. Nate Cahill's not going to be in the squad. Jacob Ryan's not going to be in the squad.
Give us your non.
Dele's going to be in the squad.
Darragh Shea might be in the squad.
He won't be in the squad.
If Switch get promoted,
give us your non pity caps. There, go on.
So I've gone Jimmy Dunn. I haven't gone defend like centre backs, right backs, left backs.
By the way, can I just say before there basically has to be at least five centre halves because it's going to be a back three.
Yeah, but I mean Jimmy Dunn. Yeah, but James Bankwite right. Covers that basis. Yeah,
Boston Lowell, John Egan, if Hull aren't in the playoffs, James Abankwa, Alex Murphy, Aaron Cashin.
Alex Murphy was on
Alex
the bench.
Not
the
getting
weekend.
Released for this. He's playing for Newcastle.
He is getting playing for Newcastle, yeah. But yeah, he is actually.
So what left?
Yeah.
So what? Go on, keep going.
Yeah, sorry. I messed up. I knew. It was,
yeah, they're mad rogue left back.
Yeah, I wanted just something different. Darragh Shea. That's it.
So what left backs do you have there?
And Adam Brennan.
Okay,
from Shamrock Rovers.
So you've a left back that is a left winger,
Aaron Cashin,
and then you've no left back. Aaron Cashin's not a wing back.
You play left of the battery.
Yeah,
it's Grenada. Like I could play against,
but we can't be giving out pity caps.
You can't go into the squad going, it's Grenada. So let's just play anyone anywhere. Yeah, like you're trying to build a structure and try players
that,
in the structure.
I have players in other positions further down the pitch that you'll see that would play in wing backs.
Yeah, but you've included some midfielders in that.
Yeah, you've had Boston Lowell centre half when he was.
So hold on. So go through. So who are your right backs?
The right backs are Jimmy Dunn and James Abankwa.
If Abanko is a right back, I've done down centre half.
Yes,
I think Josh Key, give the man a shout. We have no right backs. We've no out and out right wing backs.
Matt Doherty and James Coleman.
That are. This squad is about looking forward to the future.
Like,
that's what this squad is about. Matt Doherty.
Josh
come on.
Josh Key's at 26.
I'd see Matt Doherty in Irish squad again.
I'd love Liam Kitching to get a role call up. That would really make.
See, the thing is as well. I'm thinking have those lads had right their passports? Right. Do they have their passports?
Josh Key has his passport.
Yeah, Josh Key does. Yeah, he's been there for a while.
Taylor Adamola, Joe Bagan, played on 21 football.
I think they make total. I don't think they're rogue at all.
Just makes sense.
I think Taylor Adamola had a very bad loan move at the start of the season, and then.
He's had a couple of bad long
ways
now.
And he said one or two brilliant ones as well. But League Two level, I suppose, was the Bradford one. But he made an interesting move to go play championship football for a team that was bound to get relegated. And I think it's paid off. I think he played pretty well for them, all things considered, even though they've been an absolute disgrace, even on the pitch outside of, like, they've won one game all season, but that's beside the point. He's been a key part of that under 21 setup for a little while. And Joel Bagan's gotten the League One team of the season and is essentially a championship player now and is going to be factored in for all the squads going forward.
Can I get centre half? So we've all got Jimmy Dunn, Aaron Cashin, and Martin McGuinness, have we?
I don't have Martin
you
McGuinness.
You don't have Martin McGuinness?
No.
Yeah.
So who else do you have centre half? John Egan. Which is fair, I've left John Egan out, sorry, because I think.
Yeah, I'm happy. I
think Darragh Shea will be in the squad because.
Yeah, okay. I think if Ipswich go up, I think Darragh Shea probably will be. But at the same time, it wouldn't be too sure. I've said Paddy O'Connor, I'd be happy enough with Sean McLaughlin. I'd be happy enough with one of the young lads. I'm easy there. Like, I'm not going to die in that hill.
Sleep.
Midfielders.
Well, I'll start with Boston Wells since you named them in the defenders. Will Smallbone, Connor Coventry, Jason Knight, Harvey Vale, Andrew Moran, and Dawson Devoy.
That's quite a lot. That's a good shout.
Well, Harvey Vale, Andrew Moran can both play in that front three, either side of the front three as well.
Yeah, I have 12 midfielders here because I wasn't sure how many
players have you got all together.
I have about 28.
I've taken two out from the top.
I'll tell you. Well, on your midfielders.
Okay, I think I have more midfielders than you. I'm just double checking that I have 26. I'm pretty sure I do. So I have Boston Lowell as well. I've got Andrew Moran as well. I've got Connor Coventry as well. I've not included Will Smallbone because if Millwall end up in the playoffs, I know he's not been that involved, but I think they won't release him. I've got Jason Knight.
What do you think of that?
I've got Jason Knight. I've got Jason Malumbi. I've got Harvey Vale. And I've gone to rogue ones, to be fair here, and this is sort of where I've come in with. Actually, I don't even know if you said one of these, so maybe it's not that rogue, but this is maybe where I've included my what I'd like to see happen as opposed to what I think will happen. I put Jack Morehouse in there. I know he had a pretty bad loan move in League One, but he's in with United now. He's doing well. He scored a good goal against Madrid in the 21s. Just one of them, and there's clearly been a bit of a move to get him in a green jersey and they clearly see something in him. So I wouldn't mind seeing that. And my last one was Jamie Mullins. You say Jamie Mullins?
No.
No, so Jamie Mullins is playing for Wickham. He's obviously been one of our better players for a under 21 squad that hasn't been excellent the last little while. He's dropped out of squad, not out of squad, out of starting 11 for Wickham the last little while, but just purely because of the fact that him went over to watch Shaq Moylan play for Lincoln against Wickham. Maybe he might have got a good word while he was there and he might throw him in. And I wouldn't mind seeing him in because he's a crafty little operator.
I actually want to hear this now.
We have a lot of similar midfielders. Harvey Vail, yeah. Jason Malumbi, Dawson Devoy. I put down Jack Moylan as a midfielder, but I know he's going to play as like a number 10.
Yeah.
Andrew Moran, Jason Knight, Louis Barry.
He's going to be in the playoffs at Stockport.
Oh my God.
Oh,
and also pity caps talking about fellas playing championship football every
League. League One or League Two?
Yeah, but you were
playing a League One.
You were
giving out about me having Paddy O'Connor in. He's been one of the best defenders in League One all season.
Yeah, but he's like 28.
I'm saying he said it's pity caps given Josh Key playing championship football and he's gone League One.
I know Barry has like...
No, Louis Barry's a very good player. Of course he is.
He's a good player.
The main point being is that he's going to be in the playoffs at Stockport, so he's not going to be
Okay, he's not gonna be there. But I tell you what, I've
taken
going
into this.
Harry Vail, Jason Malumbi, Dawson Devoy, Jack Moylan, Andrew Moran, Jason Knight, Aaron Ochoa Maloney.
Okay.
Will he be allowed to go?
Yeah.
He's playing for the Malaga second team.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
All right.
Rory Finneran.
Rory Finneran, okay. Will he be? Because I didn't know what the crack was with this one. That's kind of what I was thinking with Morehouse. So, I don't know what the crack
is. To be honest,
you have a mad approach to this.
I was thinking,
just an interesting one.
I was actually looking at the Blackburn squad this morning. I was like, Michael O'Neill is a manager there. Obviously, he's managing Northern Ireland as well. And I was looking at some of the players there that are from the North and whatever. I think the North have done a really good job of kind of getting players young, like your man Kieran Morrison there at Liverpool. Mm-hmm. I just think Rory Finneran was such a talented under 17 player there in the World Cup last year. It looks like hell of a player. I know England were mad sniffing around him. I think we just put him in the senior squad now. We don't know about Luke O'Connell. Obviously, his career hasn't worked out the way we wanted it to work.
He was close to get. He would have been an honourable mention for me
I just think maybe
there was a couple more of our guys in the playoffs or that.
Yeah. So I just think someone like Rory Finneran should be in the squad because this is a chance to kind of get him involved and hopefully incorporate him into the Ireland team, the Ireland squad, and kind of go from there. Yeah. So I've mostly Matt Healy was close for mine, but he's injured.
Yeah,
he might be back at the weekend, but
could be back. Yeah. I think he will be back. I'm going to remove Will Smallbone because I could look completely forgotten in the playoff.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I'm removing Louis Barry because he's also in the playoffs.
Yeah,
like we don't watch as much EFL.
I'm not giving out about the playoff picks.
I'm giving out about the way you're going. Like, don't pick him. That's pity cap.
Yeah.
He's young. He's never going to play again. And then you're throwing Rory Finneran like
because he's 17, 18.
But you're giving out about the fullbacks.
I don't think Rory Finneran's a pity cap though.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a pity cap at all.
No, I'm saying,
sorry.
But you've given out about young players, picking young players and picking older players.
Pity cap is a bit strong. I don't mean as a pity cap. I just mean, why pick someone who's 28, 29 and like, let's pick someone who's in their early 20s.
But
Stephen Kenny would have done that.
Joe Bagan.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I
haven't actually picked
Bale, thinking about the defenders.
I haven't picked Paddy O'Connor either. I've picked John Egan.
Yeah.
It's just an off one.
I've picked Sean Blocken.
Yeah, and that's fine.
And the Josh Key pick is because we've no right backs.
Yeah.
We've no right backs coming through.
Yeah.
He's 27.
I think not putting Sykes in is a bit...
Yeah, I just wanted to see what Josh Key's about. If you're going to bring him in, this is where you bring him in.
I had two other honourable mentions.
We haven't done the forward yet.
I know, but just for midfield. I would have loved to have seen Jacob Devaney in the squad. Obviously.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we're all on board with that for sure.
St Mirren obviously need to stay up. And obviously another player is Rocco Vaha.
Yeah, of course.
He's injured.
I had him in,
and then I realised he's injured.
So yeah.
He's back on grass, though.
Yeah, he could end up playing the weekend or something.
And to be honest, the Aaron Ochoa Maloney one is just because he's a creative number 10 and we don't produce a whole lot.
Yeah.
That's my reason.
I assumed he was playing with Malaga's first team because they're not.
He scored in La Liga 2 a couple of weeks ago.
Right, strikers or forward players?
Well, I'll start with Jack Moylan because you put him in midfielders. Only one up. Chidozer Agbene, Lily Ali, Adam Ida, Tom Cannon, Sinclair Armstrong, and last but certainly not least, Jaden Uma.
Okay.
I've got the exact same.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, actually.
We've got Jack Moylan, Chiwak Bene, Millie Alley, Jade Numa, Adam Eda, Sinclair Armstrong, Tom Cannon.
I have a little bit different.
Look at that face. What are you going to do?
King Kavanagh.
Manana Galli.
No respect to King Kavanagh. No.
Chidozo Bene.
Of course.
Adam Eda, Johnny Kenny, Jade Numa.
That.
Aaron Connolly.
Yeah, Aaron Connolly, I don't mind. Kenny's in playoffs.
Oh, he is in the playoffs. Yeah.
This, like.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Look,
yeah.
He is in our
I actually went deep into this list. Players that I was like, oh, no, I only have 26. I can't put them in.
Yeah.
Brings 30 to the table and
fuck. Sorry. Brings 32, just in case.
Milena Galli, Chidozo Bene, Aaron Connolly, Adam Eda, Sinclair Armstrong, Jade Numa, Sammy Smolik, if he's not in the playoffs.
Okay. So he's not Tom Cannon?
No.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. I'm thinking, just thinking about Smolik, like, I would obviously include him. He's had a hectic couple of
weeks.
I think he might give this one a miss, which I'm sure will go down really well if he turned down a call up. But, what else did you have? Oh, Aaron Connolly. Aaron Connolly, it would be amazing to see him back in an Ireland shirt. Unbelievable for the first half of the season, and if he had stayed fit, there's no way in hell Leighton Orient would be anywhere near the relegation zone as they are now, and he would have been in the conversation for a player of the season thing. At the point he got injured, he was outperforming Jack Moylan, who was also kind of injured within that same point, but like, it was amazing to see his resurrection, I suppose, at the start of the season. Hopefully he can carry that through into next season, but if they did call him up, I'd love to see that.
I think I'm down to 26 players here. But before we move on, the Green Scene on Off the Ball is with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams. What are we getting out of...
Can I ask a question before we move on from the squad?
Yeah, I think I have like 27 players.
Yeah. I had Dawson Boy in my squad. You had Dawson Boy in your squad. You didn't.
Yeah.
Is that because you don't think League of Ireland, you don't think he's going to get a call-up, or do you think he's not like good enough to get a call-up?
No, I would say that if this was a squad for, like, you know, if we're heading to Prague... like we were, or if we're heading into maybe the Nations League games, if it's a crunch Nations League game, I would say that we have got players who are ahead of him in the pecking order, quality-wise and all of that, and the level that they're playing at. But for this squad, I would have no issue at all with him being there. I would quite like to see a couple of League of Ireland players in there, not for the tokenism of just having them there for the sake of it, but the reason I don't have him there is because I think, as I mentioned at the start, I think Hamer would probably have a blanket thing over it, where if any manager objects to the idea of a League of Ireland player coming, which I think Stephen Bradley will probably do, I can't see any of the Shamrock Rovers players being included. I reckon he will just look at the rest of the league and go, okay, right, well, if you're not going to let them do it, I'm not going to call up anyone. And I think that's probably what will happen. Even though Alan Reynolds has said that if Dawson Devoy is called up, we'll let him go. We won't stand in his way, which is the way I think it probably should be looked at, without ruining the integrity of the competition of the League of Ireland. But
if he was going to pick players, would you pick him over like Morehouse?
I'd probably have him in there over Morehouse. Yeah. But I wouldn't have him in there over any of the rest. I wouldn't have him in there over Vale or Mullins or Malumbi or Knight or Coventry or Moran or Lowell. Probably just be the extra one in Morehouse, yeah. Yeah, probably. But at the same time, like, Dawson Devoy is 24, 25. Like, Jack Morehouse is 19, 20. He's
24, 23, 24.
Yeah, there's a couple of years in the difference there. There's more potential there in Morehouse. So you could make the case to have Morehouse in there over him, but I would have no issue with it at all. But I don't think any League of Ireland players are going to be included.
Yeah, interesting. I think there will be some. Just because it's an opportunity for it. What do you think him or Hagrimsson and the coaching staff, the players, get out of the next week or the week after next?
Look, it's obviously a funny one because this was kind of intended as like a pre-World Cup warm-up camp.
Mm-hmm.
This was the intentions of it. But now, like, he was pretty switched on about what the camp would be as soon as we got knocked out by Czechia, that this is going to be a squad of trial players. I think the reason why I've included the likes of, like, say, Josh Key and Sean McLaughlin is because, more so in Josh Key's case, he's 27, so he's got at least another 8 years of football at international level. We have the two, like, standout right wing backs that we have are Seamus Coleman and Matt Doherty, who are well into their mid to late 30s.
Should Ozeag Benin play as a right wing back?
Yeah, but he's too important up the pitch to drop him back into right back. Joseph Benin is fixed into the right wing spot for Ireland now. Like, there is also
the hope that Festi becomes what we kind of hope he could do, you know.
I did look at him.
He's going to have
well
to get a move. But he's not going to get, he won't get released anyway.
But you need to look at these positions and say, right, we're ageing here, what players can come through after. So the likes of Josh Key, the likes of a couple of young centre-halves and Cash and McGuinness, Othigbeo, like, there is going to come a time when these players aren't going to be, like, players in their positions aren't going to be playing for Ireland anymore. Same in the midfield. Like, Josh Cullen is, like, unfortunately not getting any younger, and he's coming off the back of a pretty bad ACL injury. So you're going to have to see the likes of Conor Coventry, Dawson Devoy, can these players slot in and play that position? I think that's basically what this camp is going to be. Get a bit of familiarity. Players who have been in squads maybe haven't got the chance to start, like Jason Knight, who hasn't started a lot for Ireland recently under Hamer Grimson, will get a chance to get a bit more football under their belts. Players who we know will be players declining in position and in age and sometimes quality, what kind of replacements do we have coming up to follow them after? And then for the likes of Jack Moylan, Dawson Devoy, Andrew Moran, Sinclair Armstrong, those kind of players who are maybe on the verge and where, you know, the 27, 28, 29th man for other camps, Milenek Ali, what can you do when you are kind of maybe not necessarily the focal point of this team, but you're going to be one of the star players in this 11? What can you do in this? What can you lift other players around you? And look, you're going to be playing against weaker opposition. It's Granada, and it remains to be seen if we'll have a second friendly.
There's also that bit of integration, I suppose, as well, between different players and players maybe who wouldn't have come across each other before, and building relationships, which is sort of the intangibles of international football. That's all I would really have to add on what they're going to get out of it. On the pitch, I'm not sure we're going to get a whole lot out of it in terms of seeing patterns of play and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But there's an opportunity there. I would just say Jaden Uma as well. I know he was training with the Benfica first team during the week. So I don't think they'd stand in the way of him being released, but they might do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I doubt it. But yeah, it's an interesting couple of weeks, I suppose. It's a pity we're not building up to a World Cup.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Can I ask a question about the squads? Could you pick one player that you're most looking forward to seeing in an Ireland shirt out of all the ones that you've included here, as opposed to what you think Hamer may pick? Like, you know, as in, if you're looking at the squad you have in front of you right now, and David, with your 47-man squad with a load of lads playing
I thought it was rugby.
never miss out on an opportunity to have a dig at rugby. But anyway, who are you picking out of your list of players?
Do you want to go first?
Oh, can I do the coward and pick two?
Yeah, sure.
Because they're very different.
Yeah.
Jaden Uma, I just want to see play senior football. And I really want to see how he can cope with the physicality demands of that. Because that's where he kind of shines when he's dribbling and he just powers by players that I do love football. So I want to see that. And then Jack Moylan is the other one for me.
Yeah.
Just seeing him play in a senior Ireland shirt after the excellent season he's had, I'd love to see him start kind of in that, get a little bit of creativity in the team, either side of the main striker. Yeah. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing most, I think.
Yeah, Jack Moylan will be up there for me too, but I think I'd go Bussin Lawal. Just, I want to see him again because he looked like, Rolls Royce the last time.
You've included him as a defender. I assume you want to see him in midfield.
I can, anywhere, like, anywhere in the back three. If he's stepping out from a back three, I'd fancy him. His range of passes seems excellent. He seems like he can play multiple different positions. I'm just really excited. I'd see him play anywhere.
Yeah.
And the other one I'm here for is the Aaron Connolly redemption arc. And I would love for him to prove people wrong and to go and score a few goals. And, like, man, I remember he burst onto the scene. we thought this was the next Robbie Keane or whatever it was, but obviously it hasn't worked out like that for him. But it seemed, you know, especially this year, that the football that he was playing at Leighton Orient, he was going back to where
he was playing a lot off the left.
Yeah,
for
which
them
I
early
might,
in the
might,
season
might
so
suit him. Like,
it'd be no harm. We're not littered with options on that.
I love seeing any sport people with something to prove.
Yeah,
and he has a lot to prove. People are saying, you know, after the kind of the disaster of the Verona move and different things, his next move would be back to Galway United, but like he's obviously got bags of quality, bags of pace, and he'd played in a decent Leighton Orient team at the start of the season. Obviously they've regressed since he's not been in it, but it's just an opportunity for someone like him.
That moment against Spurs, like, it's funny how ingrained some moments get. Like, I can remember exactly where I was,
same,
what I was doing, who I was with. I can remember everything about that day, like the whole day.
Yeah.
I can remember everything. It felt like a we've arrived moments. I remember, like, I was working in a hotel at the time. I remember rushing home at the end of the shift to watch Match of the Day, to watch him get his flowers and everything. It was just like,
yeah,
really, it's funny.
And that's the thing, he's had the struggles, obviously. We know everything that's gone on off the pitch, and he's very open about that, which is incredibly admirable. But he's had moments in where he's gone on little loan moves and he's shown sparks of, oh, maybe he's back. Like, he's a Hull, I think Hull did a good loan move, a Hull a couple of years ago. Yeah. And then obviously he was overweight. Was it Venezia he was at in Italy?
Venezia.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't catch that.
Close enough.
Yeah, and then he came back over and he moves that just didn't work out. And then this Leighton Orient one just seemed like, it didn't seem like the last roll of the dice or whatever, but like just one of them where it was like, this kind of has to work for you here. And he seemed to just put the head down. Richie Wellens is known for being a great manager and seems to be getting a whole lot out of him. And as you say, like, Aaron Connolly has got talent, like proper talent.
Yeah.
And if we did get to see that in an Ireland shirt again, it would be amazing. But I'm not sure he'd be included just because he's only come back from injury, but I'd be all for his inclusion.
Yeah, and I suppose to bring him kind of full circle, I remember Liam Rossini speaking very highly of him when he was at Hull. So,
can I give you my two? Can I give you my two?
Sorry.
I know this is very, it's not boring. It shouldn't be boring. It wouldn't have been boring if he hadn't been included in the last cup. But I'm fascinated to see what Harvey Vail can do. I really, really like the look of what goes on there. And I'm even more fascinated to see how the potential of him and Finazaz playing together, what that looks like, because they're not the same player, but they're cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get to see that this time around, but in the future,
yeah.
That would be very exciting. And Millie Alley is one of these players that I'm actually not entirely sure if he's going to get that permanent move to Portsmouth. Obviously, he's on loan from Luton at the moment. He's shown glimpses of what he can do. He's picked up Man of the Match, two different Man of the Match awards while he's been there, but he's also had a lot of criticism come his way, just because I've always kind of said, like, despite the fact he's not really that young, he's in his mid-20s, he's still very raw and he can be a bit frustrating and his end product isn't always A1. But I think in international football, it might not need to be. And what he does offer is just our pure pace and all the other stuff that comes along with that. Like, he's driven. I mean, he's worked his way up through the leagues. Like,
yeah, it's some
like,
story.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. We actually should really get him on at some point because I'm sure he has a lot of stories to tell. But I'll go with Harvey Vail and Millie Alley, but I'm incredibly excited to see if we do get to see Jaden Newman or Jack Moylan and even some of the defenders like your Sean McLaughlins if they do get a run, because you've been consistent performers in the championship for years, like the Sean McLaughlin have. So
I suppose just to kind of put the bow on it,
League of Ireland, just to wrap on that for one quick. I actually do think if there's any League of Ireland player, and not for the sake of it being a pity cap, but the best player I think in the League of Ireland at the moment is Graham Burke, and I would have no issue with him being included at all.
Graham Burke, Jack Byrne,
Chris Forrester.
Yeah,
he never got an Ireland.
I think if Graham Burke was there, I'd be all for that. Like, I know he's been in and around there before, but I love watching Graham Burke.
I love watching
Graham Burke. He's great.
Yeah, so kind of bring it back around. We have that to look forward to next Wednesday. And the Green Scene on Off the Ball with Cadbury is a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams. Just to wrap it up, we had Oisin McEntee on last week. Unfortunately, the day after,
I know,
he got the results of his scan and he's out for the season.
Hopefully that doesn't put off any other professional footballers coming on the Green Scene.
No, we aren't the death knell to your season. Anyway, there's some nice comments came in. I think this was on YouTube. Big Oisin has been immense for us this season. I'm worried about losing set piece goals when he's not playing, i.e. the goal on Sunday against Hibernian. When he's injured earlier this season, we never score from set pieces at all. He's been a huge part of our success. Jamestown Analytics would have pinpointed Oisin. He's also Derek McInnes fit as his ideal type of midfielder for the SPFL.
That was from Mike Bannerman.
Yeah. Fair play, Mike. And then, come on the Hearts. Love Big McAtee. Sad to hear he's out for this season.
That was from Danny Hitchings.
Yeah. And then Up Carrick, which is another one. So fair play to you.
I don't know where that one came from. Anonymous account with some DW, David Wilson.
It was good. It was good to kind of chat to him. And Hearts obviously had a huge win at the weekend. So did Celtic. And Rangers obviously lost to Motherwell. What a result for the Whale, by the way.
Some kind of wanted and unwanted Irish involvement in that Hearts Hibs game. Warren Mora on the wrong end of an OG, and Jamie McGrath teeing up a goal.
Jamie McGrath.
Great piece with Jamie McGrath at the weekend, actually. And Paul Rowan, I think, was chatting to him. It was a really good read about his kind of uncanny links to Hibs. His girlfriend has some relation who was the first chairman of Hibs.
No way.
I believe, which is
the original team.
A bit mad, and some good stuff in there about how his career has not been linear, like as far as the moves he's made and moving over to England a little bit later than perhaps we're used to seeing players do.
Yeah. Remember, you can email us at thegreenscene@offtheball.com. We will definitely get access to that email address. Looking at our producer Brona here, and we will have access to that hopefully in the next week or so. If you want to just get in contact, you can comment on Instagram, Off the Ball Football, TikTok, Off the Ball Football, YouTube, anywhere else. Anything else you want to wrap up before we go?
No, just half 12 Saturday, the EFL across all three leagues.
What's the notification teams?
It's going to wrap up. Well, see, this is the problem. I didn't actually do it, but teams to keep an eye on anyway. Yeah. You've got your Hull, you've got your Wrexham, you've got your Southampton. Not your Southampton, your Hull, your Wrexham and your Derby. But then you're also going to be looking at Southampton. You're going to be looking at Borough. You're going to be looking at Millwall. You're going to be looking at Ipswich, yeah, depending on how the game goes tonight. In League 2, I'm going to skip League 1 just for the moment. You've got Chesterfield, Paul Cook, Chesterfield, loads of Irish links there. Sam Curtis is there. Grimsby are already in. That's Jace Cabia. We've seen them beat Man United earlier on in the season. A couple of other League of Ireland. Yeah, that happened.
Don't remember that.
A couple of other League of Ireland links in there as well. To Swindon are on the outskirts of the playoffs. Swindon are playing Chesterfield in basically what is a straight shootout for the final playoff spot. We've got Aaron Drinan, who's got a League 2 player of the season. He's been on the original version of the Green Scene as well. Gav Kilkenny's over there too. Supremely talented player. And then just finally in League 1, we've got Luton, we've got Plymouth, we've got Stevenage all in a straight shootout for the final playoff spot there. Bradford too could possibly drop out, but would have to fall apart ever so slightly. So some decent little Irish links in there. We've got Tyreek Wright playing for Bradford, of course. Not much at Stevenage, and Josh Keighley, of course, at Luton. Yeah. Plymouth as well. Owen Asenny's playing up front for Plymouth. People might remember him from his Waterford days.
Yeah, you'd be sitting down to watch those games on Saturday.
I actually would. I'm raising on missing this. Yeah, I have to go down to the southwest of the country, down to Tyreek Wright's homelands, actually. I know. Neck of the woods. I'm missing, unfortunately.
Yeah, very, very quickly. You were at Derry City and Shamrock Rovers last Friday, as was I. We'll speak about that on the LOI pod tomorrow with Garrett McGlynn, Vinnie Perth, Stephen Doyle. But a good night down in Derry.
Yeah, it was a brilliant experience. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable to walk out on a terrace, and it just didn't feel like a League of Ireland game at all.
But it was mad.
It was mental. It was absolutely mental. I'm all for this. Like, I'm all for using these stadiums while we have them around the country. I know Galway United are going to be playing in Pierce Stadium, isn't it?
Yeah,
Stadium, I was getting confused between Pierce Park and Pierce Stadium.
Pierce Park is Longford.
Longford, yeah. Galway and I will be playing in Pierce Stadium in the summer as well.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that. A fantastic experience. And I have to say, I know we're probably going to touch on the League of Ireland pod as well, but a huge applaudus go to everyone at Derry City, because the work they put in to make that a big occasion and a festival really is what the day was at Derry. They did an excellent work with all the pies and pints and face painting and everything, and even the work to get the pitch in, to get fans in. They reduced ticket prices to £10 and £5.
So cheap.
Just phenomenal work from Football Club, and shows what can be done when the whole club gets behind one single initiative and what can be accomplished. So fair play to Derry, and hope people there enjoyed that win.
Yeah. Speaking of that, just there's too many stadiums in the country. Needs to be more municipal facilities for GA, rugby, football, hockey, everything else in between. It makes the Brandywell and Celtic Park are literally right beside each other.
It's just literally next door on the Longmore Road.
So that's it for this week's episode of The Green Scene. We'll be back next Wednesday with reaction to the Ireland squad just being named. Ben Symes, thanks very much. Matthew Brennan, thank you. Brona and Ben in the box, thank you.
The Green Scene on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.